It's been a week of meetings and prayer encounters for Christians across the spectrum, all aiming at finding ways to overcome the obstacles to uniting all of the common faith's many churches. The annual week of prayer for Christian unity that began on January 18th comes to a close on January 25th, the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul. Pope Benedict says fellowship and sharing, as seen in the early Christian community in Jerusalem, form one of the four important pillars of Christian unity. As Emer McCarthy reports, in the general audience of January 19th, the Pope expressed his deep regret for the obstacles still remaining on the path to full communion in Christ.
In a general audience dedicated entirely to the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, the Pope expressed vivid regret for the obstacles that remain on the journey towards full communion in Christ, once again underlining that prayer is the cornerstone of all ecumenical efforts.
Dear brothers and sisters, during this Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, all the Lord's followers are asked to implore the gift of full communion. This year's theme, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, invites us to reflect on four pillars of unity found in the life of the early church. The first is fidelity to the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed by the apostles.
The second element, he said, is fraternal communion. At the time of the first Christian community, as well as in our day, this is the most tangible expression, especially for the outside world, of unity among the disciples of the Lord.
The third is the breaking of the bread, also the inability of separated Christians to share the same Eucharistic table, is a reminder that we are still far from the unity which Christ wills for his disciples. It is also an incentive to greater efforts to remove every obstacle to set unity.
Finally, he concluded, prayer itself helps us realize that we are children of the one Heavenly Father, called to forgiveness and reconciliation.
Let us pray that all Christians will grow in fidelity to the gospel, in fraternal unity, and in missionary zeal, in order to draw all men and women into the saving unity of Christ's Church.
For those who have been participating in the events here in Rome, Pope Benedict traditionally presides solemn evening vespers in the Basilica of St. Paul's outside the walls, bringing to a close the week-long prayers. The Week for Unity is jointly organized each year by Protestant and Orthodox members of the World Council of Churches, together with the Catholic Church. This year's theme, One in the Apostles' Teaching, Fellowship, Breaking of Bread, and Prayer. The churches of Jerusalem were invited this year to prepare a series of reflections for the occasion. Their meditation reflects on the need for unity through spiritual renewal, the celebration of the Eucharist, and prayer, grounded in the experience of the early church, the very first church in Jerusalem. It is not difficult to see how the situation of the first Christians in the Holy City mirrors that of the Church in Jerusalem today, their message reads. The current community experiences many of the joys and sorrows of the early Church, its injustice and inequality, and its divisions, but also its faithful perseverance and recognition of wider unity among Christians. Palestinian deacon for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Jerusalem, Ashraf Tanous, tells John Kelly the very real challenges facing Arab Christians in the Holy Land today are Israeli occupation and persistent emigration, slashing their numbers to 2% of the population.
We are, yes, less than 2%, but we have a very active diaconia as well over there. We have a lot of schools, we have a lot of hospitals, we have a lot of institutions that takes care of special needs, people, all the people. I'm talking about the Christians in general. For example, the Catholic Church, they have the Caritas, they have a lot of schools for special needs people and so on and so forth. And the Orthodox Church as well, they have a lot of institutions. The Lutheran churches, they have schools, they have hospitals as well. So in this way, yes, we are few, but our work is very important over there in the midst of Jewish, Muslim, and Christian society.
That 2%, is there any chance of growing the Christian population within Jerusalem?
Well, I mean, there is no signs that it is going to go up, but you have to keep hope. And we are hoping that by the stability of the political situation over there, and we hope that there will be political solutions later on in the future, will help us to remigrate the immigrants. And this is actually what we are doing now, and this is a big challenge for us as churches in Palestine, that we are trying our best to remigrate people to their origin, to the original countries, and give them opportunities to work, give them opportunities to have good education, and so on and so forth, because it is very important for us as churches over there to keep on our presence over there, because if we're not there, then it is a big catastrophe for us.
To avoid such a catastrophe, Arab Christians depend on tourism to stimulate the local economy. Pilgrimages and holiday tourism, Ashraf says, help provide much-needed jobs, so fewer Christians are enticed away to other countries to seek their fortunes. But tourism also provides opportunities for ecumenism and discovery.
Every day I pass by a lot of tourists in my way from the Damascus Gate to inside the old city. And few times, I pass by people I like, talk a little bit to them, and they come to my church, they visit my church, and we have like a little bit of discussions. And sometimes people are very surprised that there are Palestinian Christians. So by this way, when we like encounter them and talk to them, they find out that there are really Palestinian Christians, that they are here in this land since the time of Jesus, and they are keeping their hope to stay in this country and to be the living witness for the first church and the early church.
Christians across the world celebrate the Lord's humble birth in a Bethlehem manger in their nativity scenes each Christmas. And what better place than Bethlehem to take as a symbol of the unity of his church?
Usually Christmas, when it is celebrated, everyone like look towards the nativity church where Jesus was born. So all the people in a huge waves from all over the world, they come and, stay in Bethlehem and sing, pray, wait, to, 24th at night, and wait for the masses, and they celebrated it in a very beautiful way by and showing the real love of this manger that Jesus was born in. And not only, and this is what really attracts the attention as well, not only the Christians, the Palestinian Christians and the Christians from all over the world, as well as the Muslims. You find them over there singing with us, putting the Santa Claus, Baba, the Saint Nicholas hat, and singing and celebrating with us the newborn king, who is the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Well, to encourage greater understanding among Christians about their sister churches and break down their divisions, the World Council of Churches offers special study programs and retreats bringing together people from diverse churches, cultures, and backgrounds at its ecumenical institute at Bossey, Switzerland. Ashraf has participated in Bossey's ecumenical study programs and says it has helped him overcome prejudices he didn't even know he had.
This is a program for 4 months and a half. We do some courses about ecumenical movement since the day it started until today and, you know, until the future. And, you know, our message that we hope to carry back with us to all our countries for seeking the unity of the church. And when I say the unity of the church, I don't mean that the church become one church, you know, celebrating the first the same liturgy and celebrating. No, when I say unity of the church, I mean the visible unity, unity in diversity, where we are one, but with different colors, different beauties that we have, and there is always like an icon that is, signifies this and demonstrates this, that Jesus as the log, and there are a lot of branches. And, you know, these branches, you know, signifies the churches all over. And each church has its own beauty of liturgy, of people, you know. So this is what we mean by unity. Not we have to deny the other church. No, together we have testimony to the one body of Christ. So yeah, mainly this is what the church, this institute gives us a little bit about a basis about the ecumenical movement and the hope of this institute and the ecumenical, the World Council of Churches, the ecumenical movement that we will later on, when we go back to our countries, to our congregations, we will pass this spirit, the spirit of unity, to our churches and to our people there, seeking the visible unity in the future.
Opening up hearts and minds through such programs as Bosse's, Ashraf says, is a beautiful experience.
Not only the way of studies, not only the information, because information you may get it through maybe books you can read or from the internet, but the way we live together, the way we experienced each other, the way we talk to each other, we discovered a lot of things through our, night speeches and night talks. We discovered a lot of beautiful things inside each of the denominations. I found a lot of beautiful things in the Pentecostal churches, for example, that I used not to know, and I use always to be against, because for me a Pentecostal is a thing, and I found another direction to reach the Pentecostals. I found beautiful things in the Orthodox nuns that they are living with us together. I found beautiful things in the Catholic sisters, that one of them even we call her mama, you know, in our house over there. And as well, when you hear your colleagues saying that I'm going home, you know. Home is for us is like for 4.5 months or for 5 months. It's becoming Bosse or Biti Bosse. We're going home. So we are feeling home in a community, in one family, with different colors, with different facial features. But all of us focusing our sights and to the cross, to Jesus, who is our head, and who is our Savior and our Lord.
So how does the ecumenical program at Bosse impact people like Ashraf's work in Jerusalem?
Jerusalem is a very, very important city where 12 main denominations exist over there. And I think this is a very important place for ecumenical movement and for ecumenism. And as I told you, we are less than 2%. And that's why we have to transfer and transmit this ecumenical spirit between and among us as Christians over there, and seek the unity of the church, and seek the one body of Christ together, and to be unified with the different colors of liturgy of churches, as I said, unity in diversity. Because together we have to face challenges from different kinds of things. And together we wanted to reach it hand by hand, not against each other. Unfortunately, sometimes a lot of conflicts happen inside the church between the Christians themselves because of misunderstanding. So that's why I hope my studies or my experience in Bosse and the experience of a lot of my colleagues that they are now back in Palestine, but they had, you know, different ecumenical experience in different places. I hope that it will help us to, you know, cure the wounds that we caused ourselves by dividing the body of Christ. I hope it will help us to reunite and cure the wounds that we caused by our divisions and go back to one body of Christ, to Christian unity.
And a warm thanks there to Ashraf Tannous, a Palestinian deacon for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Jerusalem.